I want to turn to Martin Smith, a Frontline correspondent, who again was covering this very thing for Frontline, looking at this. And by the way, it's featured with co-produced reports from PBS series Frontline and NPR's Planet Money. First of all, Martin Smith, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Again, I remember you and I have spoken when I was in Minneapolis, when I was in San Diego, when I was in Washington, D.C. So thank you very much for joining me.
I'm happy to be back.
Well, talk to me about this project, The Quake.
Yeah, so we decided to move as quickly as we could. I was actually on my way to Afghanistan and got the word that we needed to turn right and go south. And we wanted, first of all, to simply bear witness to what happened there, much like you did, Jack. And so we collected a lot of material there. And then we wanted to also look at the long-term prospects for this place. As you say, it's a disaster happening on top of a disaster. And what have we learned from past experiences, and where can we go next?
For me, Martin, I think that's part of my problem. Again, being in Afghanistan myself right before Christmas, being in a lot of places around the world, and as I was in Haiti after this took place myself, and I thought about this, I thought, if this was a functioning government in the first place, then obviously the focus is to get that government up and functioning again. But when you have a government that was not functioning or functioning so poorly, do you roll money back into that incompetent government, or do you do something else? I mean, obviously, this had to be a big focus of the quake.
Yeah, we look at what's been wrong with the aid that we've poured into the country over the years. You know, Haiti is known as the Republic of NGOs because per capita it has one of the highest numbers of NGOs in the world. I think only India has more, and most of those are domestic. There's people say 6,000 to 10,000 NGOs operating here. Now, many of those are just mailboxes that a church uses or something to collect and disperse aid. Who knows where it goes? But there are still hundreds of big NGOs that are taking money in there, and this never goes to getting things right in the long term. It goes to, building a school or running a clinic, but in terms of building a functioning government, something that might have responded to the quake or had warehouses that were quake-resistant full of food ready to be delivered, or had imposed a building code on schools and hospitals, let's say. That takes a functioning government. We see in Chile, just afterwards, as if it was just there for demonstration purposes, an earthquake many times more powerful that killed less than 500 people.
I think about Haiti, and I remember saying this even when I was on the ground, was that some people think that the earthquake in Port-au-Prince was a natural disaster, or the aftermath was a natural disaster. And what I saw was that wasn't true at all. In fact, it was as man-made as just about anything else. Not the quake, not the shaking, but the net result of it came because of the ineptitude, the incompetence to actually stand up and say, here are the things that we're going to do. Do you agree with me on that?
Yeah, no, it's exactly right. It was a disaster in waiting. You have a fragile state like that where people are living in cinder block homes that are cinder blocks made with salt and sand that are made to crumble. So this was a disaster in waiting. And you had a government that barely spoke to its people after the quake, wasn't equipped to respond to it. And then you had the United Nations, which was decapitated. So nobody was really addressing the needs of the people, except that there was tons of aid pouring into the country, but it wasn't getting distributed. It was an utter mess. But there was a geologist on the staff of the Haitian government who had been warning for several years that this was going to happen and what could be done. Could we have stockpiled food, let's say? I mean, the government officials that I spoke to, the prime minister admitted that that was a mistake, that they hadn't done any of that, but they're so hand-to-mouth. So the question really is, are we going to just patch it up and pat it on the head and say, okay, on you go, or is it in the interests of the United States to get something right here so that in the future the place isn't a drain on the world's resources as it's going to be now in the wake of this earthquake?
Did you get any understanding as to why this wasn't addressed before the quake? I mean, it seems to me that the quake simply puts an eyeglass on this. It makes you focus upon it. But the failure that you and I are talking about isn't the failure as a result of the quake. It was a failure before the quake.
It was, as you said, a man-made disaster. And Chile makes that point because that earthquake was so much stronger and killed so few people by comparison. I mean, no, it killed nobody by comparison. I mean, you're talking less than 500 versus 230,000. Why wasn't it addressed? That, I mean, you know, that's rooted in 200 years of a tortured history and, you know, an 1804 slave revolt that leads to non-recognition, isolation for 60 years, and then after that, just a series of interventions, failed attempts at democracy, just, you know, both self-abuse on the part of the Haitians as well as just bad luck. So all of that history has led to this being an enormously fragile place. I can't believe, there's no reason to believe that the Haitians aren't capable of running their economy could generate lots of benefits for people. This is a country that doesn't have a sectarian rifts. There's no war going on, and it's only 9 million people, and they're on the edge of one of the biggest markets in the world. You're not talking about Iraq or Afghanistan. It really, if you can't, as someone said, if you can't fix Haiti, what can you fix? Because Haiti has all sorts of things moving in the right direction. And in fact, before the earthquake, things were getting better. So it's just that it's been poor and destitute for so long, and nothing was built and earthquake resistant. So the earthquake has just, as you say, put an eyeglass on this, put a magnifying glass on the problem.
Martin Smith is my guest, frontline correspondent. The name of the piece, The Quake, it airs on Tuesday, March 30th at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on PBS. You can check local listings. Martin, was there frustration in your mind when you walked the streets of Port-au-Prince? I mean, looking at the disaster that you saw, I mean, what were you thinking about? I mean, personally, if you can push the correspondent side out of you, what were you thinking about?
Well, you know, as a reporter in these kinds of situations, you want to just put down your pen and camera and pitch in. On the other hand, you know you have a role to play in terms of educating people outside the country as to what's going on and keeping this in the spotlight, so you play that role. But I found it really difficult with the amount of desperation, and you see it in the documentary. In those first week, people in the hospital getting amputations without anesthesia, supplies backlogged at the airport. I mean, it was enormously frustrating for me personally to see it.
I remember seeing, by the way, and again, and this is what keeps coming to mind for me, is you'd see the dead bodies in the streets, and then the photos that were taken, and you'd see these on in papers, and you'd see this on the internet, and I saw this on sort of the major outlets here in this country, and I kept thinking to myself, it's amazing the photos that we will take. And this is maybe just me editorializing, so please correct me if I'm wrong on this. But, and I know you've been all over the world, so I appreciate where you are here. I saw photos that I almost thought I wouldn't see. Do you know what I mean? I saw photos on the streets of dead bodies, and I thought, you know, I don't know if I'd see those photos under other circumstances in American papers or European papers. I mean, I saw the Swedes were showing them, the Americans were showing them, the Europeans were showing them, and I thought, what's going on here?
Have to wrestle with that. I think, I mean, we show some of those pictures.
I know, and trust me, I've shown them too, and I'm still wrestling with it.
I don't know, in the United States, we haven't faced that kind of sort of mass killing since. Well, I mean, we've had it overseas in the wars, and governments have taken different positions on this. Certainly in Vietnam we saw them, and certainly during the Civil War, Matthew Brady's photographs of dead soldiers were, you know, that was the first photographed war, I guess. So we have shown death and destruction. But you're right. I mean, we had to be very careful. I mean, how much do you show in order to tell the truth about the situation, and how much do you back off out of respect for the victims?
Are you optimistic after all of your reporting that it's not just that things are going to get better, because this isn't the hand-to-mouth question? That seems to be what we've been finding. Are we seeing sort of the big picture, we're going to address this problem, this fundamental incompetency at the governmental level? Are we going to see that?
Well, I don't know. We haven't seen that in New Orleans yet.
It's a good point.
So I don't know. I mean, it kind of goes to the heart of the political partisan political divide in the United States right now. Do we, for moral reasons, have an obligation to help our neighbor, or do we have, putting that aside, do we have a practical obligation to help it? Because for our own self-interest, we don't want boat people streaming into Miami, or we don't want it to be a drug tramp shipment.
Well, hold on a second, but wasn't that the problems of the past? I mean, if we think about what we have done, not just in Haiti and elsewhere, but we frequently sort of propped up various dictators because we wanted some stability, and we got that in the short term, but the long term was the disaster in some ways that we're talking about right now.
That's right. Well, I mean, when we fought the Cold War, we supported all sorts of scoundrels all over the Latin America, Africa, Asia, and we are paying for it. And Haiti, the Haitians are paying for it. Are we going to have the wherewithal? I mean, we have the resources. Well, some would say we can borrow the resources to make this right. I know that Hillary Clinton, Madam Secretary, and Bill Clinton, both, who have they have a long history with Haiti. They took a honeymoon there, and when Secretary Clinton took office, she ordered a policy review. So prior to this earthquake, there was interest. Now, nobody was really reading about it on any front page, but it was going on, and President Obama was about to approve a new aid package for Haiti with new stipulations about how aid was spent. So there was some movement. Whether or not, I mean, this helps or is more of a setback, hard to say. There's certainly a lot of money on the table and a lot of corruption. A lot of corrupt officials are going to be jumping for that money.
Well, this is a fascinating documentary, and I think really digs into a topic in the way that it needs to be. Correspondent Martin Smith from Frontline. Martin, thank you very much for the time. I always appreciate it.
Jack, thank you very much.
And again, The Quake, it airs on Tuesday, March 30th, 2010, at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on PBS. Just check your local listings. Stay with us. We're going to talk more about some of the things that President Obama is doing. And coming up in about 5 or so minutes, a renowned journalist and National Geographic photographer, Michael Kirtley, will join the program. Stay with me on The Jack Rice Show.